This is Fresh Air, and you're listening to WUHY FM in Philadelphia. It's now 9 minutes to 4 o'clock, and in the studio with me now is Dave Arnold for a very special information feature and some guests. David?
Well, thanks, Terry. I do have some guests with me today. You know, it has come to our attention that many of our listeners are curious about some of the more technical aspects of radio. So, being ever ready to please, we've invited several experts to Fresh Air today to discuss some of the more elusive points in the sound recording process. Now, we've spared no expense or effort to bring you this special report. And our first guest, Terry, I'm really happy to say, is someone that many of our listeners have seen both in movies and on television. I believe he was born in Europe, but for many years now, more than any of us can remember, he's made his permanent home in Anaheim, California. And he's been setting up in the next studio for about the past 15 minutes now. Is he ready yet? Is he ready? Good. Yeah, he seems to be ready. So let's go to him now. And Terry, he's Professor Ludwig von Drake.
Now, I'm going to explain a little bit more about recording. Now, the most important thing about a recording is not the people that makes the music. It's the engineer, the man who stands there and works the tape machines and everything. Now, you ask any engineer or man who works the tape machines, and he will tell you he is the most important thing to any recording. The musicians mean nothing, the singers, the dancers. None of them mean nothing. And it's true, because if you don't have a good engineer, you're never going to get to Cleveland. Now, I'm going to tell you about tape. Now, I tell you about tape. Now, you take a piece of tape like this, and you put one piece over here on one side of the mouth, one piece on this. What am I doing? That's the wrong kind of tape I got over there. You're on a tape machine, you don't use that kind of a tape, like for bandages or something like that. It's altogether different. Now, you put the tape on this side, and then you put it through a little thing over here, and then you twist it around over there, and you put another reel here, and then you turn on the machine, and here's what you hear on the tape. That's backwards. Well, I'm going to fix that. You see, when you hear a tape that's put on backwards like that, it sounds, you know, like it's really ridiculous. But that isn't the way it is, because then when you turn it around and you play it forward, we're going to retread it over here. I put it over here, play it forward for you, and now you are going to see what it really sounds like. Now listen to this. This is altogether different. You ever hear anything like that? What is he saying? I don't even know what he's talking about. That's the silliest dialogue I didn't understand him either way. But anyway, let's get back to the tape machines and all of this other kooky stuff, like the stereo phononic microphones and all the different things they got now. But one of the most interesting things you're going to find in a recording studio, and you go into them, and you say you want to see the echo chamber. Now, if the red light is on in the recording studio, don't go in, because that means that somebody's recording. And if you open the door, you make any kind of a noise, it's going to disturb it. Because, like right at this moment, nobody would think of making any kind of noise, because they know that I am recording and I'm a big artist. So they are keeping everything as quiet as they possibly can, because they know that I'm recording. And I appreciate that, gentlemen, that you have kept everything nice and quiet for me while I'm recording. Back to the echo chamber. That's where we left it. If you remember, we left you in the echo chamber. Now, what are you doing in the echo chamber? I'll tell you what you are doing. You are getting echoes. And here's the way the echoes go. Hello?
Hello?
How are you?
Fine.
That's good.
Thanks.
How's Sarah and the kids?
Fine.
Come over to supper sometime.
I will.
You see, that's the way. Wait a second, what are we doing here? I'm talking here to an echo, I'm talking to the echo all by myself? That's not supposed to be like that. An echo is yourself. You hear your own voice is coming back at you, like when you're in the mountains, it's the same thing. So now here you are, and we go into the echo chamber, it's a nice big dark room, and there's nothing to be afraid of here, because there's probably only ghosts. But a ghost! What am I saying in here, the echo chamber? Let me out of it! Open up the echo chamber here! What are you doing with it? This is ridiculous! Boy, I thought we're never going to get out of that place. That's the last time that I let you talk me into going into an echo chamber.
Professor Ludwig von Drake, who was brought here at great expense to Fresh Air. And Terry, we can thank our own Leanne Hansen, who made all the arrangements in order to bring Ludwig here from the coast. Well, Now that we've gotten a very firm background in the basics of both tape and echo chambers, not to be overlooked as a recording technique, we can move to the next great technical advance in recording. And in fact, this advance is probably the greatest one since Edison and the cylinder machine. And of course, I'm referring to stereophonic sound. Now, the development of stereo opened up a seemingly limitless possibilities for experimentation. So this next segment of our survey is really well suited for those of our listeners who are listening on stereophonic receivers. And it would even be better if those who can could listen to this next part through a pair of stereo headphones. It would just enhance the beauties of stereophonic sound. And so I'd like to introduce my next guest who's with us today in the studio, Terry, and he's here to take us on a tour of some of the many possibilities afforded by stereophonic sound, and his name is Peter Allen.
Audio Fidelity Records presents a new stereophonic sound spectacular. The world of stereo is filled with spectacular sound surprises. As I was saying, stereo is full of surprises. In an instant, stereo can magically transport you to the concert hall. Or to a bowling alley. Or to a jazz band ball. Here's a vocalist we all know.
I went down to St. James Infirmary. Saw my baby there. She was stretched out on a long white table. So cold, so sweet, so vast.
All of us are born with the miraculous ability to determine the direction from which sounds approach us. We're able to tell in an instant where a particular sound comes from. In fact, we have an instinctive emotional need to be able to orient ourselves in terms of sound sources. Therefore, stereophonic reproduction offers us the most natural and satisfying way of listening to recorded sound. Yes, through the miracle of stereo, all of the brilliant sound, the dynamic presence, the complete situational aspect of a great orchestra or a great event can be reproduced in what is virtually a live performance in your very own living room.
No!
No!
Not the mandolin!
Anything but the mandolins!
Anything? Well, Dave, we've covered the echo chamber, stereo, and we move on now to the machine that encompasses these and still more technical feats. I'm referring to the synthesizer. The synthesizer is often used as the instrument for what is often called space rock, as well as for avant-garde classical music compositions. Dave, in the piece we're about to hear, it seems the composer writing for the synthesizer was highly influenced by the recordings he listened to as a youngster, which in this case seems to have been stereo demonstration records.
Welcome to the wonderful world of Stereo. Welcome to the wonderful world of stereo.
Total dimension stereophonic high fidelity sound. Welcome to part two, setting up and adjusting your stereo hi-fi set. Without moving from between the speakers, you'll be capable of transforming the space around you into the hushed silence of the concert hall, just moments before that silence is shattered by the full power of a Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra. Moments later, you'll find yourself at ringside for the world heavyweight title, and then in Yugoslavia, haggling for bargains in the open-air market. You can almost smell the fish just beyond the left speaker. All this in the comfort of your own home. In a few easy steps, I'll guide you through all you have to know to properly adjust speaker-phase relationship, volume balance between left and right channels, tone control, automatic gain control, squelch, automatic frequency control, scratch filter, anti-skate, speed adjustment, reverberation, speaker placement, police band scanner, reverberation, police band scanner, loudness, tape bias, rumble filter, loudness, rumble filter, Conrad alert,
IHF,
RMS,
RFI, IHF,
RFI block,
frequency,
harmonic distortion, frequency response, flutter, wow, tracking error, and finally, impedance matching. Let's start from scratch. Disconnect the right channel speaker. Now the left channel speaker. Nothing should be done until both volumes are equal. Next, speaker placement. You'll get true, natural sound only when the two speakers are the proper distance apart. That's a bit too far apart. That's better. Now that your system is properly adjusted, you're ready for years of trouble-free listening. There's very little that can do any real damage to this precision-engineered equipment. However, do avoid prolonged listening at high volumes to such sounds as... is the repeated playing of... Well, you should be all set. Good evening, and the best of listening to the wonderful world of stereo.
That's entitled Stereo Demonstration a la 1957. It was written in 1975 by Walter Gajewski, who's a new music composer based in Buffalo, New York. The voice you heard was that of John Farrell, who is also based in Buffalo, New York. Well, Dave, there are many other people to be thanked for this little educational session.
Well, that's true, Terry. We already thanked our only Ann Hansen, who made the travel arrangements for Professor Ludwig von Drake. We'd also like to mention that the stereo demonstration record that we heard before was from 1963 from Audio Fidelity Records. And we'd like to thank our technical director, Jay Goldman. And last but not least, we'd love to thank that great one, Thomas Alva Edison.
And I'd like to thank you, Dave. You're listening to Fresh Air.